Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Woo! Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
We got WrestleMania, sadly, in the rearview mirror, but you know what? That's okay. Like, we're not leaving the road. Like, we're excited for this trip. We're going to keep talking about WrestleMania. I'm just excited. We just got good matches to cover. I'm excited about it. There's nothing, you know, more to say about it. We want to keep talking WrestleMania. We know you all want to keep hearing about WrestleMania. It's just one of those things where we're going to ride the wave as long as we can, and that's why we're covering this match today.
So why are you excited to cover this one?
This is one, just like last week, like you and I were talking about, like, you know, the story itself. And this is one, I'm all about the story. And so in telling a story in the ring, and is there one that was ever told better in the ring? I don't know. Like, maybe not. I think that, we'll get into exactly how we got here, but I think this is one where you get just really, the setup was almost too perfect. And seeing how this played out in the ring, we're going to talk about it. Tom and I got the tissues close for this one because we don't know, you know, how we're going to react, because it's just one of that type of match. And so it's just the emotional ride of it and the storytelling is perfect for me. How about you?
Well, you know, two of the all-time greats, two of my personal favorites. This match, you know, I've obviously gone back and watched it a number of times, and I was there live, but just loved it, man. This was a really fun WrestleMania weekend. Flair getting inducted, this match, a lot of fun. So I'm really excited to cover it. And yeah, we're going to have some fun with this one. But before we get into the bill, Jeff, we got to talk about Manscaped.
Yep.
Friend of the show, supporter of the show. Like we had previously told you, you know, we didn't want to just take on a sponsor. We wanted someone that we believed in and we loved, and their products kicked ass. So we both got lawnmowers sent to us, and we tried out the Manscaped experience, which it's the best in men's below the waist grooming, right? So that's a lot to live up to. And we tried it out. We both loved it. And again, we just want to share with you a really cool coupon code. Go to manscaped.com, use coupon code PAYOFF. You get 20% off and you get free shipping. And they've got so many cool products, some really good lotions. Man, you got to check it out. We love it. Can't recommend it highly enough. You know, they had been kind enough to send us some stuff to make sure that we liked it. And you know what I immediately did? I ordered the stuff that they didn't send us because I just wanted it all. And it's been awesome. And I know you've enjoyed it too.
Yeah, it's one of those, and you know, for everyone, it's that, you know, it's 20% off, it's free shipping. Like, we all know, like, free shipping, we're saving $5, $6, $7 on some of this stuff. And so absolutely worth it. It's that code PAYOFF at manscaped.com. It's absolutely worth it. And I know some of you out there are like these guys are crazy. Like, why are they talking about this? Like, it's just sense. And so, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, whether, you know, hairy guy just trying to clean yourself up, like, you know, fix yourself a little bit. Let's just be real. Like, at the end of the day, the whole concept of manscaping, it's pretty nuts, plain and simple, you know? And so it can be a little crazy. That's what we all want though. We're all trying to look good. So, and pretty nuts. Who doesn't like that? So, yeah, good stuff. Absolutely. Like Tom and I both said, like, hey, it's just taking care of yourself, plain and simple. You know, the technology they have in this stuff, using it in the shower, waterproof, all that good stuff. Like, you don't have to be nervous. And I've talked about it before. Like, you know, you take anything sharp toward the boys, like, you know, this ain't a street fight. Like, we gotta be safe, plain and simple. So, you know, just keep that in mind, you know, 20% off, free shipping, PAYOFF. Use that code, plain and simple.
Your balls will thank you. And with that,
absolutely,
it's time for The Build.
Oh, it's time for The Build.
All right, dude. So, Citrus Bowl, Orlando, Florida, March 30th, 2008. The funny thing about this, Jeff, is this building is an absolute shithole, okay? And from what I was told by friends of mine that actually had been to this venue before, they could not believe how well it came across on TV and how much, you know, work they did to add the palm trees and wrap all these ugly cement things and build a great set. It was really fun. This was my first WrestleMania, dude. So it was a big deal for me. WrestleMania 24 in Orlando. Our seats sucked, but it was just fun to be there. And I've continually gotten better seats over the years because you learn a little bit each time you go. You know, you had Bradshaw defeating Finley in an actually better brawl than you would have expected. It was kind of a fun opener. CM Punk wins a Money in the Bank ladder match. Batista defeats Umaga. Kane defeats Chavo Guerrero for the ECW championship in 11 seconds, if you can believe that. Then we get the match we're here to cover. Then we get Beth Phoenix and Melina defeating Ashley and Maria in a Playboy Bunny Mania Lumberjill match. Say that a few times. Yeah. Then it was Orton keeping his title against Cena and Triple H. The Mayweather Big Show match in your semi-main, and then The Undertaker defeating Edge to keep the streak alive and win the World Heavyweight Championship. So, good Mania, a solid Mania, not a great, great one, but a pretty solid one. You know, some downers in between there. So, storyline standpoint, Jeff, you know, how do we get to Ric Flair putting his career on the line and then ultimately facing off against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania?
Yeah, and this is where you're still dealing with the brand split, Raw, SmackDown, things like that. But it was June of that previous year, 2007. You know, Ric Flair getting drafted to SmackDown, a part of the 2007 draft. He'd been feuding with just a bunch of different people. You know, it was Ric Flair. Like, he was just always in storylines, just kind of things happening. So took a little bit of a hiatus. He was off TV for a little while. Coming back, though, that November 2007, saying that he will never retire. And so, which, yeah, true. And so here we are in 2021. And so, yeah, Vince, though, you know, saying, though, that the next match that he lost, he would be forced into retirement. So Vince playing the heel on this one, kind of saying that. So he actually had kind of a few matches throughout this. And so, you know, ended up beating Randy Orton, which is actually the night after this. It was, you know, also kind of revealed that it would only apply to singles matches, but he had singles matches with Triple H, Umaga, like a real, like William Regal, Mr. Kennedy, even Vince. And so it wasn't like he was wrestling, you know, jobbers or anything like that. He was taking on the big names at the time and kind of winning those matches. That might have been, you know, a little sneaky, you know, like just, you know, he beat Orton because of a distraction from Jericho.
Dirtiest player in the game.
And so, hey, you know what? Like, you got to get it however you can. And so kind of dealing that. And so, but, you know, through all this, though, he was announced as being a part of the 2008 Hall of Fame class. And, you know, being a part of that, you know, Rick actually challenged Shawn Michaels to a match at WrestleMania. Now, Michaels in storyline, like, very reluctant to do this, you know, because he knew that, you know, Rick taking him on, that if he lost, and because of the stipulation, that he would be forced into retirement, plain and simple. And so, and Flair, you know, the kind of the big line and the part of the story for this was, you know, Flair, you know, it would be an honor for Shawn to retire, or, you know, it'd be an honor for him to retire at the hands of Shawn Michaels. And so, you know, kind of dealing with that. And so in the lead up to this, you then had him, you know, really becoming a true Hall of Famer the, you know, week of, or night before, whatever it was. Yeah, night before, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's actually inducted by Triple H. So you've got that connection as well, too. And so getting the match, it was really just, you know, to that point. Now, what had kind of been going on with Michaels? So at WrestleMania the previous year, 23, he actually lost to Shawn Michaels, submitting to the STFU. Had a back and forth 4th, it was like him, Cena, Edge, Orton, just kind of, you know, things happening. It was at Backlash, you know, over the WWE Championship, then just having a little back and forth. Michaels then kind of going on with a long feud with Randy Orton at this point, you know, saying that he could beat him and things like that. It just, you know, it really led to a part of a storyline kind of injury as well too, but storyline injury, but then also Michaels needing surgery, you know, one of the many times he needed that. And so came back, continued to feud with Randy Orton, just, you know, back and forth and things like that. And so that was really his big kind of feud was with Orton. And you also had a match, like not only like Cyber Sunday, they had a match of that 2007 and Survivor Series. Again, another rematch at that one. And so really just, you know, they really weren't a part of like exact parts of each other's kind of universe in this one, that Rick had the kind of retirement storyline playing out. Michaels had been having these other feuds and really going after the WWE Championship at the time. And so how it played out was just kind of, you know, they were in separate universes until they weren't, but you know, it going into this making sense, like Rick had beaten some of the biggest names or big names at the time, you know, even including Vince. But now you run into, I say, you know, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen at that point. We just got to watch the match and find out. So,
hey, Jeff,
yes.
Do your feet still smell?
Oh boy. No.
I know you had a problem with that. Manscaped makes a foot duster. It's a 24-hour foot deodorant, an essential hygiene solution featuring tea tree oil to create a therapeutic cooling sensation for active lifestyles. So
they don't, because I'm using Manscaped. I'm not yet, but okay. I need to though.
So maybe check out the foot duster. And same deal. You go to manscaped.com, use coupon code payoff, 20% off and free shipping. Okay.
Good stuff. Okay. Right. Got it. Noted.
I'm done.
I'm done too. Like, that's it, man. We're sitting here in silence, but yeah, that's the build. You've got just a little bit and we know where the story is. You got, you know, being challenged and Shawn Michaels and things like that. And then we get into the match, and the night before we got a Hall of Famer now. So yeah, that's it.
And what do we say on the payoff about simple builds? Sometimes they're the best. Don't overthink it. Okay. Yep. I have an adage I say a lot in business, and I'm like, your business should be super easy to explain and you should be able to explain it, you know, whatever, 10, 15 seconds. I kind of feel about wrestling builds. Like, so someone that's watched wrestling before, how do you explain this build? Well, you've got this legend that has been around forever and he's incredible, but he's aging and he doesn't want to retire. And the greatest WrestleMania performer of all time, which is wrestling Super Bowl, is challenging him. Go. Okay. I get it. That's
the elevator pitch. Yep.
Yeah. Right. They're just give me the elevator pitch. And it's like, anyone could sit there, watch this 20-minute match and be like, wow, that was really, really cool. So anyways, let's get down to business here with the payoff. We are at the 1 hour and 29-minute mark at WrestleMania 24. Again, the 1 hour, 29-minute mark of WrestleMania 24. Jeff, are you ready for the payoff?
I am ready. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, dude. So again, this match, as I've told you many times, holds a very special place in my heart. God, the atmosphere that night, I don't know what it was, dude. There's just something about it. Was just like beautiful weather. Yeah, it was evening. The air was crisp. They were lighting the fireworks off of the water. So Flair's entrance, which if you haven't seen it or it's been a while, go back and watch Flair's entrance. It was unbelievable. But they were launching the fireworks, Jeff, off of the water, which was just so cool. The set was really cool for this one. Look at the woos in the background there, the signs. I mean, gosh, just out of this world, dude.
Flair, well, not only that, the huge robe as well too, like one of the bigger robes he ever had. Yeah. And so you can already see Flair looks emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looks emotional, and it's like, you know, I know this wasn't Flair in his prime, but he looks good enough, right? I mean, like, I think physically he looks good enough, That, you know, that's what I think of this. I got to tell you, so, you know, it came up recently. I was arguing with a couple buddies of mine. We were actually talking about, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, Ben Roethlisberger. And someone was like, oh man, like, it's just sad that Ben's still playing past his prime. And I'm like, you know, a couple things. Number one, he still had a pretty damn good season for a pretty damn good team. Okay. Number one. Number two is, I have no problem with athletes playing past their prime. I have no problem with wrestlers wrestling past their prime. I mean, it's not like Flair is, you know, tripping on himself and making an ass of himself, right? It's not like Kurt, it's not like Kurt Angle in his comeback embarrassed himself. Yeah, you're like, yeah, he probably lost a step. Goldberg probably isn't in his prime now. Taker probably wasn't in his prime now. Sting clearly is old and being protected, right? I don't know. I'm curious what you think of this, but for me, I will gladly take someone past their prime and enjoy more of them than not. I have no issue with it whatsoever, as long as it's not to the point where it's embarrassing. You know, right. And when I'm saying embarrassing, it's Yokozuna at 900 pounds. It's Jake the Snake coming out drunk. It's some of that stuff you see like on the independents, but like big time wrestling, like, I don't think anyone's ever been out there and embarrassed themselves. I have no problem with guys past their prime. And I loved Flair in this era and in the storyline that they did with him.
So Rick is currently 72 years old. So when he's wrestling this match, he was about 59, 60 years old. I like past your prime. Like, I would hope at 60 years old, I can go do a 20 minute match. Like, I'm going to do 20 minutes of anything. And so like, and this guy, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of matches that came before him, and hell, he had thousands of matches that came after this. And so like, you know, and no, I think that, you know, defining like the prime of some of these guys, like, yes, was he past his prime? Sure. But does that make, you mean he was a bad wrestler? Like, to your point? No, not at all. Like, and this match too, especially one, like, you know, this is one that, you know, we always talk a little bit on the show about matches you would point to for someone that just kind of like, you know, to get them into wrestling. Like, this would be one that would be on my list. Like, it doesn't feel like it should be, but it is, because, you know, telling the story in the ring, kind of what they're doing is the kind of, you know, kind of Flair just chopping the shit out of Michaels right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and so, yes, is it, you know, going to be incredible ring like work? No, but at the same time, it doesn't always have to be. And so, but right now, like, Rick is like, it's dominating. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where I can't shit on that at all, because like prime, like his, like, how do you define it? There's so many ways. I was like, cause right now, like, he's putting on a pretty good match right now. Like, it's still early, but like a big elbow right there, but he also sold it well. So yeah, it's, I think you have to redefine that of who's in their prime and who's not. Yeah.
I think like Flair, yeah, you know, he's old. It's not a big deal. Like, I mean, he's not, it's not like he was like a body guy, like in his prime. Like, I mean, he kind of always just looked like this, and that's not a bad thing, but, do you like retirement stipulations? See, to me, what I like, I'd rather someone just go, look, like, and I'll say it with this Flair thing. It's the same with Batista recently with the kind of like, you know, I'll retire if I lose. I hate that stipulation because you always know how it's going to end. Same with like Michaels, right? So Michaels and Taker. What I prefer, and I don't think, gosh, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, or Twitter, correct me if I'm wrong. I can't think of anything where, or any time, where someone said, wow, look at this. Oh, he misses the moonsault, goes through the table. Wow. Yep. God, he hit the corner there hard, the edge. So I can't think of any match where someone said, look, win or lose, this is my final match, and I am not going out losing.
Yeah.
I mean, Taker didn't have a final match. Shawn's was a retirement stipulation, so you knew he was going to lose. Austin never announced his retirement ahead of time, so you never knew there was going to be one there. Batista announced his retirement, so they made the stipulation, so he knew he was going to lose. I just wish Flair would have said, look, I've had an incredible career. Win or lose tomorrow, it's the last time you're going to see me in a ring, and I will leave everything out there. I just wish someone would have done that, and no one's ever done it.
Yeah, and I think it's just, I almost feel like that's a pipe dream in this sport. Like, we're just never going to see that because, like I talked about previously, like, yeah, retirement's not a retirement when we do this. And so
it's the Kobe Bryant, this is my final season, right? And I think Michael Jordan did too, where there's like kind of the farewell. I wish they would have done that. I mean, I guess Angle did that, right? I mean, I guess Angle said it was his final match, but again, it just wasn't well done.
But then even like you get this situation where, like, you know, the Undertaker really, you know, you and I both watched that Last Ride documentary, like kind of chasing that perfect kind of final moment and stuff like that. Like, you know, you can't, like, I like to your point, like, I think like Kobe, like his final game, he goes and drops, what was it, 40 or whatever the hell it was, or like 60.
No, he had like 60. That was,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. And so, you know, put up 60 points on his final career, final match. Like, this is one too. You got to wonder, like, and I think part of it too is, you know, these guys, like, this is his life. Like, Rick has lived it, you know, and we always say, like, you know, your character is, you know, that bigger than life persona of your own self. Like Rick, that's all he did for health, you know, 60 plus years, 50 plus years. And so, yeah, I find, like, if he's used well, even nowadays, like, you know, he has been, it was a weird kind of mother, father, or, you know, father of her son, Lacey Evans angle, which, thank God, like, you know, that didn't come out, but, or plan out or play out. But, yeah, it's just one of those where, you know, it's just, yeah, I want, would closure be nice? Yes. But at the same time, like, it not always needed, but yeah, I think it's just the sport we watch, we're just not going to be afforded that. Unfortunately, Rick, big slam there. Look at that, holding him up and everything. The man still got it. So I've got an interesting statistic here for you too. WrestleMania, I kind of shared this link with you, and props to the 3D man on Reddit for kind of sharing this. It says, I created a list of every wrestler to ever compete in WrestleMania, how many times they competed, and their total combined match time. And so Shawn Michaels' most match time at WrestleMania, coming in at number 3 with 6 hours and 13 minutes. And so the number one was,
Damn it. Sorry. I was going to, you did not send this to me. I have not seen this.
Oh, I apologize. And so, no, all right. So,
So what I was going to guess Triple H and Taker would be the two that are more than Shawn.
Triple H and Taker, Shawn Michaels. You want to take a stab at who is 4 and 5? It's two of the biggest names.
Hogan?
Nope. So you've got Randy Kane? Orton.
Orton, Kane?
Orton, Cena. Kane is actually number 10. And so Rick, though, so you figure Michael's lifetime, 6 hours and 13 minutes. And then kind of looking at where Ric Flair is, and it feels like it should be more than this. He's only an hour and 26 minutes.
Yeah, didn't do that many WrestleManias.
And then Hulk Hogan, to your point too, of kind of where he was at 2 hours and 53 minutes.
Wow.
And so he was
moonsault from the top to the outside. Shawn Michaels.
That was, yeah.
Shawn Michaels is the one that did the moonsault, just to clarify.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for letting everybody know about that. Yeah. Yeah. It might, Hogan actually comes in at number 11 on that list. So yeah. But a lot of good info. I thought I'd share this with you, but apparently not. And so kind of interesting. Yeah.
When's your birthday?
Yeah, June 7th. If anybody would like to Venmo me, I'll give you my Venmo name. Can I put it out there?
Well, no, I was thinking about getting you the crop mop, which is moist ball wipes infused with aloe to soothe and refresh the skin.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for, like, I take care of myself. The lady appreciates it. And so, you know, whatever I need to do, like, I'm all for that kind of, you know, self-care. And so,
she'd appreciate you more if you got some crop mop.
I mean, she's just happy that I've got, like, you know, my Manscaped trimmer right now. Like, I'm happy to just not be using the same razor for, you know, face and, you know, downstairs in my man garden. And so this is one of those things where, you know, thankful for, you know, the tools of the trade, like, you know, spend some money on the good stuff, like pay off 20% off. Like, you know, you can't beat it. So
when
don't forget that free shipping. That's important. Kip up from Michael's here.
My best friend has one of the hideous most hideous, hairiest chests. I mean, it's not even like a hairy chest. It's like a wolf. Okay. And, I bought him one and sent it to him. I used payoff discount code, 20% off free shipping. He was thrilled. Really was thrilled. Like no joke. I
appreciate
happy to send it to him.
I appreciate you. And this is something we all need a little bit more of. You got Flair and Michaels, you know, having a great match, just, you know, really brothers in what they do, looking out for each other. I think we all need to be looking out for each other and putting it out there of like, hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with buying your friends, you know, products to help themselves out. And if it's free shipping and 20% off, why wouldn't you, you know? So we're getting down to the end here, I'd say. And kind of, you know, Michaels has been kind of taking over a little bit here. Something about I just miss an open air WrestleMania with a packed arena.
You know, it's so funny you say that because Michael's hair is kind
of
blowing.
That's what made me think of it. Yep.
I know.
So we got Michael's tuning up the band here. It's not, everybody's starting to get up. They realize what could be happening here. Yeah. Rick
really struggling to get
opposite corner. Yep. Trying to get up.
Oh, he didn't do it.
Oh, couldn't do it.
He hesitated. Flair's got him in the figure four. Place going nuts.
Everyone on their feet. Yeah. So Michaels couldn't actually pull off the kick. And so now, yep, right into the figure four. Just a great moment. Like, oh my gosh.
Hey, as we're watching this, Booker T said Eric Bischoff should not be in the Hall of Fame.
I disagree. I saw the headline. I'm interested in his reason. I'm sure he has some personal animosity towards
Eric
Bischoff. And so, but I, you know, again, without having like true why, you know, what the Hall of Fame is or anything like that, like I absolutely think he belongs there. You know, it's his contributions alone, you have to give him credit. But
well, I mean, arguably as an on-air character, I mean, between the commentary and the NWO stuff and then the WWE GM stuff, I mean, based on their criteria for a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, he probably should be in based on that. So when you factor in, obviously the almost put Vince out of business. Yeah, of course. So look at this nice little pinning combination here.
There's kind of that was a little bit of a botch there. They weren't kind of able to fully get it. I think, you know, got Rick getting a little bit tired out there. But same time, I'm still going at it. And so, yep.
I think Rick sometimes is critical of this match, just, you know, maybe based on, you know, some of the, you know, I guess things he did that maybe weren't as good as his prime. But dude, I'm like,
yeah,
don't be so hard on yourself. It like, this is an incredible way to go out. Now, obviously he did come back. He did TNA stuff. He did a tour with Hogan, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if this was it, man, like what, you know, it's 60 or 59 years old. Like, what more do you want? I mean, I'm sure I would have loved to have seen a version of this for Hulk Hogan. Like, where was the final Hulk Hogan match where he had a classic with, you know, John Cena?
Yeah. Well,
or whoever it might have been. But like, you know, I would have loved one more great Hulk Hogan match like this. I mean, there aren't many send-offs like this. I mean, think about it. You know, I think Shawn Michaels had a great send-off. Taker, I don't know.
Eventually, took us a little while to get there, but yeah.
I mean, the AJ thing, I guess you could say riding off into the sunset, there's, you know, something to be said for that. Okay. But, you know, Sting still hasn't had a send off yet. I don't know if he will or not. Like, we don't know what's going to happen there.
He has said recently, like, expect 2, 3, 4 cinematic matches from him. But he said after the, like, it would actually beat him up more than a regular match, because instead of going like, you know, 20 minutes in the ring and you're done, it was like 8 hour, 2 days of filming. And
I didn't read anything about that. So that was a multi-day shoot.
And so he was more beat up from that and working, you know, 8 hours over a couple of days than he was just going out and doing 20 minutes. He said his body was just wrecked, but he's got, you know, a little bit different how he can recover and things like that. But yeah, so it's something I didn't ever think about. Like,
but I still think it's better because it keeps him safer.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so what? You got to film a little bit more. You got to test a few things.
Do you have any issue with those cinematic matches? Like, if they're done right?
I want more of them. I want them done well.
I'm sitting there like, I'm like, could you do something with Hogan? Could you, you know, could you have done more with Taker? Like, could you have, you know, Sting's a great person for that. And I know Hogan may not be the best example, but it's like, again, if you were like one more match, you know, that's the way you could do it. I mean, that's how you could protect the guy like Taker.
And I think Taker probably didn't like it. If it were my opinion, I think that it's not wrestling. You know, it's not pure to what wrestling is. But at the same time, like, yeah, if you get like, you could tell a really good story, like, oh, and there it is. Like, Michael's hitting a super kick out of nowhere. You got fans with their faces covered. They don't know what's going to happen. Rick, like, you know, you got Charles Robinson checking on him, things like that. Like, yep. Going for the pin here. 1, 2, nope.
So good.
And everyone on their feet. And here you go. Rick breaking down, though, at this point, knowing what's, you know, we know what's coming, unfortunately. And so, yeah, Michael's, you know, oh boy, just incredible to watch. Yeah. And so he'd been selling, Flair had been going after the leg of Michael's, the knee the whole time. So Michael's kind of selling that as well. And here you go. About to tune up the band again. And Flair still on his back from the previous super kick. You just, oh boy, here, you know what's coming. Michael's calling for him to get up. Yeah. The fans just trying to see what's happening.
Michael's selling it so good, though. Selling the, you know, facts of the figure four.
But, and this is how it should be. Like, he just hit him with a super kick and Flair can't get up. Like, that should be. Like, he's selling the super kick still. Like, you know, if you didn't know what this match was, you'd almost feel bad because Flair can't get up. So Michael's yelling at him to get up. But from the storyline kind of perspective, it makes sense. And there it is. Dirtiest player gets the low blow from behind, bringing up the leg to get him. Fans cheering for him as they should be. And now Rick trying to get to the cover. What a great performance, like selling it, trying to, you know, can't you get know, over there for
I
the
was
cover.
I was just going to say, I don't know if he's selling it or if he's really struggling.
Hey, you know what? He got me. So, what? I don't care. Like, if I got worked, I got worked. It happens to me about once or twice a year where I legitimately get worked. But that time, I'll take it. I got worked on that one. Last time I got worked was Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. I'll admit to it. And so, yep, now. Here you go, Sean, again. Now he's got the figure four locked in.
Completely put it in wrong. I don't know how people struggle so much with like putting it in. He absolutely put it in wrong.
You would have thought too, like going against Rick, like you would have at least, you know, known. But hey, when it's not your move, like this is why it doesn't work though. Like you didn't put it in wrong. Like if you're not going to lock it in right, I wouldn't tap either.
Well, there were people that put the sharpshooter in wrong too. And I'm like, it's not that hard, man. Like, I mean, it's just either the right over the left or the left over the right. Like, I mean, I don't know how you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that you had such strong feelings on the application of submission holds.
Oh, it drives me nuts. Cause I mean, I did these moves as a kid all the time. Like I knew how to put in a figure four. I knew how to put in a sharpshooter. I'm like, how did these guys not know how to do it?
So you had the bottom turnbuckle pad has fallen off. And again, quick roll up. Rick trying to get him. Michael's kid. Boy, the fans, every time Rick gets close, like the fans are up on their feet. And Rick, and it's just playing out right now. Yep. Oh, both got on his knees now. Both guys, both of them chopping each other, doing what they can. Flair just looks absolutely gassed, but still this big chops coming across.
I think that's probably why he doesn't like the match because he sees how gassed he was. But again, for the fan, and Sean just super kick out of nowhere there, the fan is just like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just beat up. So I think sometimes like when they critique a match, like they see things like we don't know. Again, I don't see Rick being like, you know, old and gassed. I just see him like selling. But again, he may be like, yeah, I was out of breath and, you know, barely like able to like keep going. So Sean hits the super kick, doesn't go for the cover. Now he's standing up
We're tuning the band again. Here we go. Yep.
He hesitates to tune the band. He's looking at Flair.
Oh, the selling. Here we go. Just the, oh boy. Flair.
I'm sorry.
I love there you. It is. Oh.
Boom. Knocks Flair out of his misery. One.
Flair
two,
crying.
Three.
You got fans crying, and then Michael's immediately kind of consoling Rick, talking to him. Everybody's on their feet. Nobody's sitting down. And Michael's immediately leaving the ring. He's sitting on the apron right now. Yep.
All about Flair.
And this is one where you hear, and we can let this play for a second here. Like, you know, we've heard the behind the scenes of some of the stuff that Michael's, you know, it isn't always, you know, well-liked and things like that. But in this moment, like watching this, like that took about 10 seconds for Michael's to leave the ring because the gravity of the situation, I'm sure, like it not, I mean, yeah, it's not just putting the story over and selling it and things like that, but like for him, you know, we don't know what kind of behind the scenes conversations had. It had to be tough for him to do this too. And I'm sure, like, you know, I'm sorry, we're seeing it again. I love you. Like, it has to be just absolute true raw emotion behind a lot of that too. Fans saying no. Yep. Oh, yep. Fans super upset. Yep.
You've been sent to retirement by the greatest in-ring worker of all time.
Right.
Wow.
By one of the greatest in-ring workers of all time.
Exactly. Yeah. Flair crying. I mean, what a scene this was. Well, let's get into the aftermath, and then we'll keep talking about this. So
yeah,
it's time now for the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well, what'd you think?
But we've still got it up here. You just saw Flair's younger children kind of crying, like Charlotte and stuff like that at the time. I mean, again, it's just one of those, like, everybody's on their feet, like telling the story. It's really hard to find anything better than that. And even, you know, at the time, if they, you know, truly was supposed to be a retirement match, you know, Ric Flair, you know, going to be back and things like that, may have not known, but like how they tell the story, you just, I don't know much that beats it. Plain and simple. I'm really like almost speechless a little bit. You know, you and I do podcasts where we're supposed to talk about these things, but it's almost like it's been a long time since I've watched that match, and, you know, talking about it's one thing, but like sitting through it and watching it, like it truly is moving. Like we forget that a lot of times with wrestling, like we can truly be moved by some of the stuff that happens. And this match is one of those cases. How about you?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. You know, probably in the WrestleMania folklore, I'd say arguably an underrated match, underrated, you know, moment. This is up there, man. This was so good. And it was a really good match too. I mean, right. Like, yeah. I mean, Flair's not doing high flying moves. I mean, that's not what who cares. Right. So yeah, I loved it, man. So probably not a ton to cover in the aftermath, but what do you have for us? And then let's jump into the reviews.
Yeah. And so this is one where, again, you know, interesting how it played out, because literally the next night after we had this, you know, just incredible match between these two guys, you had the farewell address from Rick. And so you had Triple H bringing out, like, just, you know, current superstars, retired superstars, really thanking Flair. You had Shawn Michaels come out, some of the Four Horsemen. You had Harley Race, Chris Jericho, The Undertaker, even Vince. This was one of those two where it, like, we broke kayfabe. Like, there was no, you know, there was no kind of, you know, blurring of the line of what was real or what was, like, what wasn't. Like, it was standing ovation for Flair. Like, it really, like, there was no heel face. Like, this is, it was just true to, you know, who these guys were and in the moment and things like that. And so you had Flair making as a career threatening, career endangering, whatever you want to call it. But Flair, though, you know, coming back, you know, he actually had some involvement, you know, with Chris Jericho. He actually had a you know, kind of a feud back and forth with that. He did himself didn't have a match, but, you know, kind of having a little bit of back and forth, you know, Triple H being involved at that as well, too. There was a Money in the Bank match where Flair actually managed. It was actually a legend, really a legends team. Was Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat. You know, it was a 3-on-1 handicap match against Jericho. So, you know, really involved with Jericho quite a bit. And then the, like we know, like this was, you know, 2008. He did some time in Ring of Honor. He did some time in TNA, did some more time in WWE, still doing time in WWE. And so Ric Flair, I still enjoy seeing Ric Flair, plain and simple. Like, you know, he doesn't have some of the behind the scenes heat, I feel like. You know, people don't always enjoy seeing him, but I do still enjoy seeing Ric Flair out there and being, you know, he doesn't, not always a great storyline, but boy, the man loves being around wrestling. It's just, you know, it's hard to say it's not in his blood and who he is. And so him still being around. Now, Michael's on the flip side here. Batista actually like storyline angle, kind of getting into it with Michaels because of what he did to Ric Flair, thought it was selfish, thought it was unnecessary. So these guys actually had a match with Chris Jericho being the special guest referee of that one. It was a Backlash actually the next month. And so again, but then you have Jericho and Michaels kind of getting involved with it as well too. It was just really back and forth for the next couple of months. These guys just having that back and forth, you know, Michaels hurting himself legitimately as well too, you know, kind of tearing some muscles and things like that. Just, you know, it's the normal stuff. And so, but he ended up that kind of Jericho feud ended, where Michaels at Unforgiven actually beating Jericho so bad that the match was stopped. That's one we should actually put on our list. And so to kind of talk about, and so kind of having that, but, yeah. And so really having, you know, matches with, kind of, you know, a little bit later, kind of capping off, it was a No Mercy, a championship match against Jericho. It was a ladder match. And so Michaels just kind of kept doing what he does, you know, and so eventually got to his retirement yeah. as well too. But, right. Michaels just kind of kept wrestling and things like that. So
just kept putting on great matches and stealing yeah. WrestleManias and
yeah, whatever. Left no big on deal. Top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's so, just ironic that, I mean, these are two of the few guys that actually, you know, really left with great matches. I mean, what more could you ask for than to retire at WrestleMania?
Right.
Again, absolutely. Ignoring the fact that both got back in the ring, but.
Yep. So the kind of reviews on this one, kind of where we're at, things like that. So PWI, you had Shawn Michaels was number 7. Ric Flair was number 19. They actually, this was the most It was the match of the year for PWI, and Rick was voted the most inspirational wrestler of the year for 2008. So high marks from all these guys. So the PW Torch on this one, this was a 5-star match for them. That couldn't have been done better. 20 minutes of history, a mistimed flip or a failed bridge up didn't matter here. This was tremendously executed. Cool here. So remember that movie, Old Yeller? Well, if you do, you remember that everyone cried at the end of the movie. Ric Flair had what should have been his final professional wrestling match, and it felt right. This was a first-class effort by everyone involved, right down to the ringside microphones that picked up everything they were supposed to pick up, and the fantastic direct and camera work. The shots of Michaels and Flair saying their respective goodbyes to each other before the finisher were as good as anything you'll ever see in the business. While it would have been nice to see Flair say some final words after his match, WWE obviously wanted that shot of Flair walking the aisle one final time. Ric Flair saved one of his best matches the last 10 years for tonight. He was in great shape and matched Michaels move for move in the ring. This wasn't a case of Michaels creating movement with Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 2005. In actuality, Flair carried parts of the match after Michaels took that wicked moonsault bump onto the announce table. Flair's send-off was a special scene after a special match that will be remembered as a WrestleMania classic moment. The Observer newsletter on this one, this is kind of from the staff writers on this one. And so I'll just come out right and say they only gave it 3.5 stars. So,
I don't know what amazes me more, that Meltzer actually found people that wanted to work for him, or that those people gave this 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. So
based on what? Based on what? Two guys doing moonsaults and gymnastics in the Tokyo Dome would have been cooler than this. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Yeah. And so, and really like there was a lot of write-ups and things like on this one of just kind of what played out, but like and the writing on this one from it was the career of the best in-ring performer in the history of wrestling came to an end on Sunday night when Shawn Michaels, after whispering our headline this week, super kicked Ric Flair and pinned him in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 24. When I was growing up, there were three pro wrestlers that I wanted to be: Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Ric Flair. I had my first match, and this is again one of the beat writers. I had my first matches inside a just a few years before Bret retired. So from that point forward, it was largely Shawn and Flair. I have already forgotten where it was, but Shawn did an interview somewhere in the past week where he said that, when he was growing up, he always wanted to be Flair. And his thought process was, well, if you're going to be the best, then a best there is, then I should emulate the best there is. And so,
cool story, man.
Yeah. Right. So, I'll let you go first. We can just ignore that 3.5. So 5 stars, like, we'll just kind of say that. What are your thoughts?
So the only knock I can give to any of this build, payoff, aftermath, the only thing is the fact that Flair wrestled after it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to choose to ignore it. And I'm just going to say, look, this was his WWE send-off. This was his send-off on a major stage. Tom Brady finishes his last game of his career winning a Super Bowl. So what if he goes and plays flag football with his kids afterwards, right? So I'm going to treat it like that and just say, like, this was the end of Ric Flair as a, you know, on the main stage as a professional wrestler. So to me, this is perfect. And I'm giving it a 10. The build, just everything with Shawn and with Flair and their histories and, you know, really, really good stuff. The Hall of Fame the night before, the atmosphere, it was a great match. I won't say cinematic is in like the current cinematic matches, but the cinema of the I'm Sorry, I Love You and the way everything was shot. And I mean, dude, this is as good as it gets, man. It's a 10. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Actually, it's been rare, and it's been a long time since we gave a perfect 10 too. But I feel like I'm with you on the same thing of like, yeah, okay. So there was a spot or two that didn't hit. It didn't matter. And at the same time, like, yeah, you know, it just while it wasn't his final match, like, yeah, he was involved a lot. You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't to me, you know, at the end of the day, like just the scope of it. And this is, again, another example of like the build was less than a couple of months. Like, that's it. Like, it started in 2008. And then this was, you know, 4 years later and or 4 years, 4 months later. And so not even, and so 3 months later. And so to get there and know that, like, and this is, you know, just what it is, like this, the scope of how big of a deal it was, like they were able to sell it. And it just, you know, anything less than a 10, I feel like it's just one of those where you're really doing it a disservice. And so, and that is a knock on some writers out there, because how can you look at that and know like kind of how we got there and the history that these two men have and not think that it was anything less than one of the best storytelling performances ever. I mean, it's hard to beat that. And I can't really think of a one match or two matches or anything like that, that, you know, you had maybe the Okada Omega trilogy, which told a story over three matches, but it just, it's not overbooked. It just makes sense, plain and simple. And so, yeah, you and I both double tens on the board.
All right. Well, that's it, man.
Feeling good. Absolutely. I know.
I am too. Well, and I'm glad it's time for me to run. I actually, I got to go shave my balls with Manscaped.
Put it out there, buddy. Yeah. Plain and simple. We're just dropping the sponsorships on everybody. So you can find us at Payoff Pod. You know where to find us on the social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Hope to hear from some of our friends, especially when we cover Shawn Michaels matches. We love hearing from some of our friends. And so feel free to drop us a line, you know, things like that about this match and your thoughts on it. And, you know, was our score right? I'm sure it was. Tell us why our score was wrong and we'll tell you why you're wrong. So, you know, that's where we're at right now. So at Payoff Pod. And then of course, don't forget manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping, use that code Payoff. And so, Tom, give us that emotional send off we all want. Good stuff this week.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.